Assalamu alaikum and thank you for logging on to the Farrakhan Speaks podcast. This podcast is an excerpt from Justifiable Homicide, Black Youth in Peril, delivered by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan on October 28, 2007 in Chicago, Illinois.
According to the dictionary, whatever is justifiable is excusable. It's excusable because it's justified by the principle of justice. Homicide is the murder of one human being by another. Whenever you put these two words together, justifiable homicide, there has to be some body, B-O-D-Y, not body here, but a body of persons in a deliberative process that determines on the basis of fact that the murder of this human being is excusable by the principle of justice. Since we have been in America, we have been under the domination of a power that during slavery did not have to justify the murder of our fathers. They didn't have any group of people to look at facts. No. Whatever the spirit was, whatever the slave master felt was worthy of death, they had the power of life and death on every and any black person outside of the principle of justice, with no regard for the life of the black male or female that was being put to death. In the time of Reconstruction. Now, Reconstruction is that period of time right after Abraham Lincoln issued the Emancipation Proclamation. During that period, black people made tremendous progress. The whole idea in that period from those who benefited from our enslavement was to put our people back into slavery and to drive deeper into our hearts the fear that was in us during our 300 years of chattel slavery. So in that 12 years from 1865 to 1877, the enemy could see that if the so-called Negro was set free and given the material to build an independent existence, he could become a serious challenge to their superiority. So under this so-called emancipation, the freed slaves then had to be made to be afraid to make a free step. Those who would want to make a free step, those that would challenge their former slave master by wanting to vote, by purchasing land, or pursuing education, or striving to do anything but plantation labor, these kind of black brothers and sisters would be dealt with harshly by the former slave masters. And there was no deliberative body that would judge our affairs with justice, and therefore, every killing of a black man or woman, every lynching of a black man or woman was excusable. Anything that white folk did to set the black man at naught was excusable because anything that was done to us to maintain white supremacy was in fact an unwritten law. We must keep the black man in subjection to a power that was ruthless in its administration and stewardship over our lives. And therefore, every black human being that was killed during the 300 years of chattel slavery, and even now 150 years up from slavery, that is killed by white people generally is considered excusable. One white historian wrote, quote, that it was almost impossible to convict a white man of a crime against a black person. In one Louisiana town, two white men were convicted of murdering a black man. After they were convicted, they rose and walked out of court after the verdict was announced, and no effort was made to stop them. Now just think about that. In 1890, a white man was convicted for the murder of a black man and was fined $5 for the crime. And the judge let it be known that he would not press for collection. That's how little our lives have meant in this society. White folks will pick a dog up on the highway and have the dog sit down at the dinner table. But a black human being will be sent to prison for mistreating dogs. And white folks mistreat blacks every day, and there is no penalty. During this Reconstruction period, white America began to engage more frequently in a monstrous form of public homicide called lynching. This ritualized community murder masqueraded as crime fighting, but it was actually a strategy to instill terror in the hearts and minds of the black population. It was done to eliminate economically successful, politically active black people, and generally to reinforce black people's roles as plantation laborers. As W.E.B. Du Bois stated, quote, "The white South feared more than Negro dishonesty, ignorance, and incompetency. They feared Negro honesty, knowledge, and efficiency." So after slavery, black people could be destroyed without harming a white man's personal wealth, so lynching became increasingly popular and widespread. Now this atmosphere is beginning to spread again in America. I want to really make it clear to you today what we are going to face, what we are facing, but it will increase in the days ahead. Now, the typical lynching became no less than a Caucasian celebration, a public bonding across class and ethnic lines. with veteran lynchers egging on the younger ones. And women, white women, inciting their men to horrific cruelty. Children cheering on the medieval proceedings as all reveled as one in the dreadful tortures inflicted upon black men, women, and children. White women dressed up. White men chartered trains. And newspapers announced the event of a lynching in advance. And if you could see the pictures of the lynching of our ancestors, the smiling faces in the photographs of the spectators. One scholar points out, these are not the faces of people who have seen justice fulfilled, but rather these are the faces of those who have experienced a pleasurable event. The slaughtered black bodies mounted to such an extent that in one Texas county, one newspaper reported, quote, vultures became a nuisance. How many of you have heard of Malcolm X? Would you raise your hand, please? I was a student under Brother Malcolm when I became a Muslim. One of the things that set Brother Malcolm apart was Malcolm made every one of us that were connected to Islam under his leadership, he made us study. And one of the books that Malcolm carried in his briefcase that he inspired me to carry in my briefcase, along with my Bible, my Quran, and a book called, at that time, 17 Million Negroes, $17 Billion. That's the kind of money that black folk were spending in the late 40s, early 50s. Well, this book was titled 100 Years of Lynching by Ralph Ginsberg. And this book is a collection of newspaper accounts of the lynching of blacks, which reveal the nature of the lynchers and demonstrates the sheer crazed delight that white folk experienced at the torture and murder of innocent blacks. The Vicksburg, Mississippi Evening Post, for instance, described the 1904 lynching of Luther Holbert and his wife in Mississippi. And this is 1904. That's just 103 years ago. But check this out. Mr. Holbert had killed a white man in self-defense. And his wife's sole crime was her marriage to him. Now, this is the account of what happened. The two Negroes, this is in Ralph Ginsberg's book, were tied to trees. And while the funeral pyres were being prepared, funeral pyres meaning that they were mounting wood and stuff because they were going to burn them. While the funeral pyres were being prepared, this male and female were forced to suffer the most fiendish tortures. The blacks were forced to hold out their hands while one finger at a time was chopped off. the fingers were distributed as souvenirs. The ears were cut off. Hulbert was beaten severely. His skull was fractured and one of his eyes knocked out with a stick, hung by a shred from the socket. The most excruciating form of punishment consisted in the use of a large corkscrew in the hands of some of the mob. The instrument was bored into the flesh of the man and woman in the arms, legs, and body, and then pulled out. The spirals tearing out big pieces of raw, quivering flesh every time it was withdrawn. The mob then burned the couple to death, forcing the Hulbert's son to watch. This is painful to listen to. Imagine how painful it was to see it. And imagine how painful it was for that black man and woman to experience it. The son was just watching. He was crazed with fear. And when he saw the flames consuming his tortured parents and heard their frightful screams and prayers for mercy, he threw himself face downward on the ground, closing his eyes and putting his fingers in his ears to shut the fearful scene out from sight and hearing. After the couple was dead and only partly consumed by the fire, the mob left them, and the boy took the blackened corpses of his parents and laid them side by side in the brush, covering them over as best he could. In some white people's minds, there was also a civic necessity for these bloody public murders, and that was outlined by the University of Alabama professor Clarence Cason. Listen to his words. This conviction that the black man must now and then be intimidated in order to keep him from forgetting the bounds which Southern traditions have set for him. Even now in Mississippi, in Alabama, in Louisiana, in Texas, in Georgia, back in these rural areas, black folks still are intimidated and they keep within the bounds that white folk have set for them. And we are 150 years up from slavery, but fear still grips a lot of our people, not only in the South, but in the North as well. So unquestioned is this philosophy of intimidation that at times lynchings are planned and carried out, not under the fierce compulsion of mob hysteria, but by men who have calmly resigned themselves to the performance of a painful but delightful duty, which is necessary for the good of society. One Arkansas sheriff said that innocent blacks were, quote, hung sort of on general principles. He said, we kill 5 or 6 of them every year, and that makes the others behave tolerably well. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad saw all of this in his growing up. He saw lynchings in Georgia. And he said in his speech at the Uline Arena in 1959, America allows our sons to be lynched. And then adds salt to the wound by concealing the identity of the lynchers. More, the government seeks out the lynchers, then turns them over to their fellow men, their brothers, who share the lynchers' cause and motives. Meaning, once you catch the people that did us in, you turn them over to their brothers who let them go and call it justifiable homicide.
Thank you for listening to the Farrakhan Speaks podcast. This message and all other messages are available in their entirety through The Final Call at store.finalcall.com. And remember to log on to the most widely circulated black newspaper in the country, The Final Call at finalcall.com.